Hi, everyone. This is Greg Brooks with Rocket Station.
You're listening to the Just Get Hired podcast. If you're listening to the Just Get Hired podcast, make sure that you like the podcast and share it with all your friends. I can't wait to hear what you think. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Just Get Hired podcast. This is your go-to resource for career advice, job tips, and everything in between. I'm your host, Jessica Fiesta George, and we're going to continue a conversation that we had a few weeks ago about working at a startup and how to prepare for a successful job interview in this dynamic environment. If you're considering a career at a startup, you're in for a treat because we're about to share some great insights. And joining me today is Andrea Mazier, a seasoned career coach and digital marketing specialist. And this is part two of our conversation. So welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Jess.
Absolutely. We couldn't fit all of the good stuff into one episode, so I appreciate you coming back on the show. I don't think I had a chance to introduce you, but to reintroduce you, just in case for anybody who's just joining us, Andrea has an impressive background, which includes managing advertising campaigns for Fortune 500 brands like Sprint, P&G, Unilever, as well as healthcare marketing for some of the largest privately held healthcare systems in New York City, one of my favorite cities. And you've been coaching job seekers, helping them at top companies like Cisco, Oracle, Etsy, Disney, all of my favorite brands. And you have been published in NerdWallet and Fast Company. So I think you are the perfect guest to help us with this conversation on how to prepare for a job interview at a startup.
Hey, yeah, let's get started. Let's talk about how right. People can work at a startup.
Absolutely. Well, before we dive into this topic, I have a tip for job seekers. If you're starting your day with a daily routine, that can help you get focused and energized. Eating a balanced breakfast or just even doing a workout, if you find that those things work for you, I have another thing that's going to also help. So this is called Magic Mind. I'm holding a bottle of it in my hand. And if you want to start your day off right, I'm not sure, Andrea, if you've heard of Magic Mind, but it's the world's first productivity shot. And it's a game changer for me. I've been taking it since the beginning of the year. It contains 12 magical ingredients, including agave, lion's mane, cordyceps, turmeric, you name it. But it's all in there to boost your mental energy, support your immune system, and enhance your cognitive performance. So if you haven't tried it yet, I encourage you to go out there and find it. You can find it at your local Sprout store if you have one in New York, or you can go to magicmind.com/hired. And of course, you know, I'm going to put that in the show notes and I'll send you the link so that you can find it, but go check it out. Trust me, it's worth the shot. So, just wanted to make sure you were aware of that, but I want us to get back to our conversation. So let's kick it off. Why should or what should candidates do to prepare to work at a startup and get ready for their interview?
So, what makes startups different from corporations is that you're not going to be, or rather you shouldn't, have a ton of extra steps involved. One of the things that startups pride themselves on is that they move fast and they want to make sure that they have the best possible talent without dragging out process. So at best, it should be a couple of rounds. So with that, you don't have to worry about meeting a ton of people and doing a bunch of assignments. More often than not, you're going to be meeting directly with the founders and senior leadership of a startup because, you know, they're literally just starting up. So you're not going to have a ton of people right away. So definitely expect them to be hands-on, to be very passionate about what they're doing. You'd be hard pressed to find a startup owner or founder that would not be committed at all if they were just in it for the money. Like, they will be relentless in their pursuit to solve whatever problem they're setting out to solve.
Okay. Well, when you're getting ready to interview for a startup, what are some questions that people should be prepared to answer? What are some of the top ones that you've heard people ask?
So I would say that it's totally going to depend because not every single hiring manager is going to be the best at interviewing. So for every good interview you have where you're going to go through the typical questions, tell me about yourself, your strengths and weaknesses, accomplishments. I cannot stress enough to my clients and mentees to make sure you have strong answers ready about examples. How did you handle conflict? What were your big wins without going into a ton of detail? This is especially true for marketers. You want to be able to say less with more. A startup owner, they're a busy person. So as much as they would love to hear all of the nitty gritty, they just do not have time for it. So definitely keep it high level. Talk a little bit about the problem you were faced with, what actions you took to solve that problem, and emphasize, do not hold back the overwhelming results and wins you've achieved.
So I've had this debate before. Cover letter or no cover letter? What is your thought behind that?
You're a recruiter. I'm sure you're not going to hold back when you say that most cover letters don't really get read. Like, you don't have time to read a resume. Especially with just how many applications are coming in for any given job right now. With that said, a cover letter could be a good addition for a job that communication is going to be a very big part of it. You're going to be in a writing job. You kind of should include a cover letter. That's also going to be a writing sample for you. But just keep it short and sweet, like half a page tops.
I'm always going to debate that left and right because as a recruiter, I don't have time to read them all. But I know smaller companies and maybe even startups, you know, they're really excited to get candidates through the door. They may even read it too. So, you know, on my side, I don't read them. Is it okay to have it? Absolutely, right? I'm not going to tell people not to have it, but I will say more times than not, it does not get read.
Yeah.
But
I guarantee you, no hiring manager, no recruiter will ever say, yes, we hired this person because of their amazing cover letter. It's just not going to be that important in the long run. But I always tell people, don't like save your energy if it's an opportunity that you're legitimately excited for, that you can talk about how much you are such a good fit for this role without it sounding like a template, then absolutely go for it.
Fair point. So what about portfolios? Depending on the role, as a marketer, do you provide a portfolio, a link to a portfolio? Do you have a website? What do you recommend for like creative roles or positions where maybe a portfolio is warranted?
Oh, 100%. For creative roles, especially. So if you're going to be a designer, an editor of any kind, you absolutely have to have a portfolio. If you're going to be in content marketing or writing, you would have a website that shows your writing samples. I would argue at that point, it might as well be a portfolio so that it's nice, easy to read, very simple and straightforward. People can see who you are, what you did, and a resume. That's it. Super easy and so not complicated at all. One thing I always tell people with regards to their portfolios is that the work cannot speak for itself. You still need to add a little bit of context. So again, like really small case studies in terms of what the problem was, the actions you've taken, and the results. PAR. Problem, action, results. Spell it out that way.
Okay. I'm glad you said PAR because I know a lot of people advocate the SMART goals, but I'm always the opposite. And I always talk to people about PAR because I think it gets to the point a lot quicker than like outlining every detail of a SMART goal. So thank you. I'm glad someone's on my side when it comes to that. As far as questions, like, okay, so questions that candidates should ask the interviewer, we always prepare candidates on how to answer interview questions. What are some good questions that you would recommend for candidates to turn it around and ask usually at the end of the interview?
So at that point, hopefully like there wouldn't be that many other questions. So the ones about what's day-to-day going to be like, what are some of the challenges that you'd face? What does success look like? That should hopefully be answered naturally throughout the interview, but it's absolutely important to make sure that you know what you're walking into. I would also ask what kind of leader they are. What goals do they have for the company? What does growth look like for startups? Do they have an idea of what an exit plan looks like? And what's so important, especially for an early stage startup, how much runway do they have? How much more time do they have with the current set of money until they need to raise another round of funding or get money elsewhere. For more established companies, especially as they've seen peaks and valleys with their growth, I would also ask them, what was the last time, like, how did you handle the pandemic? And what was the last time you've had to handle layoff of any kind?
That's a good one.
Yeah, how do you advocate for your employees? How do you make sure that, you know, if the performance is slipping in any way, how do you get them back on the right track? Lots of questions to ask them.
Yeah. Well, when do you bring up the salary question? Like, do you, I mean, most of the time, either in the front end, a recruiter, if you get called first, will go over the salary, or somewhere in the interview, salary will come up. But in the case that it doesn't come up, or maybe you want to see if there's room to negotiate, like, when should you bring up salary?
So the earlier, the better. Once it's later stage, it's already assumed that whatever was hopefully would have been advertised. Like, I have not a privilege, so to speak, because, you know, there's pros and cons living by a major city, that a lot of salaries are going to be posted. New York City, right, for instance, is legally required to post a salary range. But I would always just confirm with them, like, in the beginning, I saw that the salary range advertised for this position is 80 to 100K. Can you confirm if that's correct, or is there a little bit more wiggle room? And I always tell people, like, you know, companies have to have a salary, like, they're already budgeted for it. Most of the time, you would not be having this conversation unless there was an actual job, meaning there was money set aside for it. If things are up in the air, it's a bit of a yellow flag, but I would make sure you do your research, go to sites like salary.com, PayScale, which is great, and onetonline.org. They rely on actual data, both self-reported data, but also like market data to report in on like actual market trends. So they'll give you an estimate of how much you could potentially be going for. And I always tell people, shoot a little bit higher. Be realistic, of course. Be real with yourself in terms of how much experience you can bring to the table. So if you're starting off, if you're an entry-level person, you might not be making $100,000 off the bat. But, you know, if you have 7 years of experience under your belt, you absolutely could go for a little bit higher, and you should advocate for yourself. Absolutely. Because what's going to end up happening, you say you have a little bit more, they're going to meet you in the middle anyway. So it's almost expected that you're going to negotiate down the line, and you absolutely need to once you get to the offer stage. That's the best way you can make more money.
Definitely. I always try to tell people not to actually give a number, but a range, because once you land on a number, you're kind of pigeonholed into that. There's no going up after you go from there, you know, and they can know that that's maybe like your high end number. So try to give a range if the range is not provided for you. That's what I always
say. And also, it's none of their business how much money you were making.
True. Which is illegal in most places to even ask. So
exactly.
If you do come across that, make sure that you, you know, you can politely not answer that question.
Yeah.
And depending on where you live, I would definitely verify that before you go into the interview. If you're asked, then you can politely remind them that they're not allowed to ask you that question.
Yeah.
But most employers know now.
Yeah. If they insist, we need to see pay stubs. No, they don't.
No.
They have no way to verify that anyway.
Absolutely. So as we're kind of wrapping things up, what other things should people keep in mind when it comes to working at a startup that maybe we haven't covered already?
Yeah. So just reiterate, like, they're very fast paced. You will definitely learn a lot working really closely with leadership. I would say definitely make the most of your experience, document everything. So all of the work that you've done, all the results that you've achieved, you definitely want to make sure that you have it stored on your end, in addition to making sure that you're managing up and you're having regular check-ins with leadership so they know what you're working on. And I could also share, so a couple of sites that you can use if you haven't already to find startup jobs. Well-Found, previously Angel.co, probably the biggest aggregator for startup jobs, as well as Y Combinator, which is one of the biggest venture funds in the country. They have their own job board. Venture Loop is pretty good. They post jobs pretty regularly, as well as the eponymously named Work at a Startup aggregator.
There you go. Well, I'm going to try to see if I can get that from you, and we can put that out in the show notes, and that way people know where to find them. I've never heard of half of those, so thank you so much for sharing that. Working at a startup is very interesting to a lot of people because it's exciting to see a company grow from the ground up and making your mark and seeing how you can create impact throughout that process. And it can be very lucrative if you can stick with it and that startup continues to grow by funding and through acquisition. So working at startups is different from corporations that are established. And I think you highlighted a lot of that in our last episode. And I appreciate you coming back to help us with the conversation on what to expect when you're working at a startup. But any final thoughts to leave our audience with?
Yeah, it's a tough market out there. I always tell people, be open to any opportunities. So you never know sometimes. It never hurts to have a conversation. See if you can connect with that person human to human. If it might not be the best fit now, that's not to say that it could be a better fit down the road. So always keep in touch with people because you never know. But also listen to your gut. Your gut will never be wrong. If the person you're talking to is great, keep them around. If they're not so great, it's okay to keep your distance.
It's okay to say goodbye. Mm-hmm. Well, Andrea, thank you so much for coming back. You always have an open invitation. I appreciate the partnership and always collaborating with you. If you're aiming to land a dream job, climb that career ladder, if you want to hire the best talent, this podcast has you covered. So stay tuned for future episodes. Don't forget to click that subscribe button and follow this podcast. Come back next week because I'm going to have another guest. Watch this on YouTube or Spotify or take the audio on the go on your favorite podcast platform. Thank you for tuning in. Remember, success is within your reach, so keep striving for greatness. I'm Jessica Fiesta George, your host of the Just Get Hired podcast, and I'll catch you on my next episode.